Thank you very much. Now, it's normally at such occasions, maybe you ask one person just to share a few thoughts. Today, you're getting double for your money. So it's good value today because we've got to. I don't know how it's going to work. This is a world first. I don't know how they're going to share it, these two. But give a warm hand to Nick and John.
Hi, John.
Good morning, Nick.
I like your outfit.
I like your British tie.
Do you?
Very smart.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a bit of a problem in England. Some people call it post-colonial guilt. I was going to wear my England waistcoat, but you get accused of being the National Front, so this is the best I could do. A little bit of blue and red in my bow tie. I've been accused of being an architect so far this morning. Mm. I've also been accused of being a snooker commentator. But there we are. John, you Nigerians always put us in the shade. By the way, this is another double act here. Where's Lola?
Lola!
Please stand up. Yeah. The matching dress and headdress, fantastic. Made and flown over from Nigeria months ago.
Thank you, Nick.
John, we should introduce ourselves to people.
Good morning, church. My name is John. I was born in Nigeria, but I live in North London now.
And I am Nick. I was brought up on a farm in Lincolnshire with my lovely sister, who is over there, the beautiful one. And I've lived in London since I was 19. We're going to talk a bit about church this morning, John, aren't we? Yeah. What's the funniest thing that's ever happened to you in church?
Well, I remember about 25 years ago, I went to a church in Nigeria, and the first service, the pastor said, we were going to fast. I didn't know what that was. So I went on eating my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then the next day, we had a prayer meeting, and we all came to church. And they said, okay, has anyone fasted today? And I said, yes, we fasted. And my mom says, no, you didn't fast. You had breakfast, you had lunch, you had dinner. And that was for 7 days. Then the next Sunday, which is the 8th day, the pastor came and said, we're going to fast for 100 days. I said, no chance. I tried my best, but I think by the 3rd day, I couldn't continue, so I stopped.
Very good. That would have been something, wouldn't it? There wasn't, presumably, not much left of that church.
No.
No. I remember many years ago at New Life, we've always encouraged people to worship in their own style. And one evening, a visitor came along, a very smartly dressed visitor, and asked a couple on the front row. He had a very beautiful wife. He came up to this young lady and said to the husband, would you mind if I have this dance? And much to her horror, he said, help yourself. As he took her across the boards at a quick foxtrot. So that was an unusual one. Anyway, John, something a little bit more serious. How would you define church?
Well, my understanding is church is not the building. Church is Jesus' idea. His idea of redemption, his idea of salvation, his idea of hope and comfort to all mankind.
And what about your experience of church, John?
Well, unfortunately, the church hasn't been up to standard in many cases. And that's because man chooses his own ways. Jesus said, I will build my own church. And Jesus' idea of church was a place where we all come to get support, to support one another in the race for salvation.
Okay, I agree, John, and I think many people are put off church for various reasons. The church, as people know it, has done many bad things in the name of Christ and individuals as well. I think that one of the reasons is that the church is not always in a good state. Throughout history, the church seems to have ebbed and flowed. Sometimes it's been full of life, and then after a while, the life seems to have ebbed away. And I think in the days of these days of the internet, it only takes one bad story to affect the way that people feel about church. But many good things, many, many good things happen today across the world because of the 2 billion people that call themselves Christians.
Yes, generally I think church is a very good idea. My two boys, my lovely daughter and wife, I joined New Life a couple of years ago, and it has been an amazing experience for us every single day.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. One of the things that we love to do here at New Life, if you don't know New Life, and it's lovely to have a few visitors here today, is to work with other churches. And we don't just do this as a token, as something that looks good, but we have a very good relationship with other churches. The leaders get together, pray together once a month. We have breakfast from time to time. We do outreach together. We do the Fleet Festival at Whitsun. At Easter and Christmas, we have joint services. And I really like this because that's different, I think, to the experience that many people have of churches.
Yes, when I joined New Life, like I said, a couple of years ago, I realized that you ran the food bank program. And I felt really blessed by that.
Yeah. And as I say, it's something we just do with the other churches. Mm. We also try to avoid divisions over minor differences, which can be very off-putting to people.
Yeah. Well, I think I agree. Church, unfortunately, do compete with one another. And this was not Jesus' idea.
Yeah. I like the idea that church isn't a place for perfect people. The church, to me, is more like a hospital for all of us in the world, where bad people are getting better. And you probably remember the story that Billy Graham told about the woman who said that she was looking for the perfect church.
And what was his answer?
He told her she'd never find a perfect church. He said to her, "Madam, when you join it, we'll no longer be perfect."
I suppose it's inevitable that Christians will cause some offense in their lifetime then.
I think that's true, John. I think we all cause offense to one another in our lives, even when we don't intend to. I had a print shop for many years, and we had every kind of customer. We had some really lovely customers. We had some really difficult customers and some who shouted at us down the phone. And, yeah, that was...
But how did you deal with that, Nick?
Mainly, we just tried to be patient and let the moment roll over you. Sometimes we had to deal with the situation in a way that didn't cause any more offense. And I was certainly glad to be a Christian because there were times when you could draw on that patience and gentleness and kindness. But there were times when I definitely didn't succeed and I lost my cool. But I think it's much more difficult when you're offended by people who you really trust.
I agree with you, Nick. That is why sometimes people do get hurt. They get hurt because of their expectations. The higher the expectations, the higher the demand, and the higher the likelihood of getting hurt. And sometimes, genuinely, for no reasons of ours, we do get hurt.
And what advice would you give, John, to somebody who has been hurt by people they trust? I think very often the most hurt is encountered in families because, as John said, we have that expectation that we expect something better. And sadly, also in church situations, people become Christians. And as somebody once said, they expect Christians to have wings under their jackets. In other words, the Christians might be angels, but we're not, are we?
No, we are not, unfortunately. This is life. And as humans, we must realize that we have faults in ourselves. And we do hurt people and do demand forgiveness from people, inasmuch as we also will want others to forgive us. Jesus always said this. He said, "I understand that as long as you're human, you will offend one another." And this is comforting for me, knowing that I will offend you, and I'll know that sometimes you will offend me. But the closer you are to me, the more difficult it's going to get. One of the greatest offense I take as a person is from my wife, unfortunately. That is because she's the love of my life, and when my food is 5 minutes late, I get very offended.
I guess it's those practical things, John, isn't it? It's ironic, isn't it, that in family, most of the violence in our country, and I'm sure across the world, actually happens in family situations, because there is that expectation, and because you let your guard down. People come to church, don't they? And sometimes they've got a nice smile, but underneath that, there's all sorts of things going on in their family life, which they would probably prefer not to talk about.
Yes, Nick, but this is the amazing thing about Jesus. He said, "Come to me, all ye who are burdened from the things that have happened in your life," and he promised, "I will give you rest."
So what would you say is the answer, John, in terms of what we need to do in order to experience this love, this forgiveness?
I think one of the most common things about us all is that we all need forgiveness. At some point in our lives, we have offended somebody, and at some point, others have offended us. But there is someone who says, "Come to me, no matter how difficult your life has been, no matter how burdensome it has been, I am ready to forgive you. And I am ready to have this relationship with you that has no end." I must say this, Nick, that it is in God that we find true and sincere forgiveness and the ability and the strength to forgive those who offend us.
That's true, John. I guess the greatest example of all is Jesus himself, isn't it?
Yes. Several years ago, I had the opportunity of seeing a movie titled The Passion for the Christ. I have never seen so much brutality in my entire life. Although I was born during the war in Nigeria, that was in 1968, in the middle of the Civil War. And I grew up understanding brutality, but never have I seen such hatred in my entire life. But something amazed me. At the end of all the brutality, he looked to God, his Father. He knows how angry his Father is, and he can get. And he says, "Father, forgive them." The same people that tore down his kingdom, the same people that bruised his king, the same people that tore all that he stood for, that called him names that spat upon him. And he looked straight at their faces and says, "God, please forgive them, for they are not conscious of what they are doing." What an amazing God we have, Nick.
That's right. And what is our response, John, to this sacrifice on the cross?
Well, as we stand today, there is only one expectation. Several years ago in Africa, I remember we used to go to trade things. It's called trade by barter. So you take things of like value and exchange them. But for Jesus, this is not the case. He takes things of greater value and exchange for things of less value, which is me. He said, "Come unto me the way you are. Come, I will give you strength to walk with me." Jesus was not looking for perfect people. He says, "I'm looking for people that I, him, Jesus, can make perfect."
That's right, John. And I think it's good to know that we have to respond to that, don't we? I think for myself, when I was a teenager, a long, long time ago, I was quite offensive as a person. And I was a master of sarcasm. That means the ability to pull people down. And I didn't really want to be the person that I was. And I tried very hard to be different, but I found that was impossible. There was something inside me that wanted to change.
So what happened?
What happened was that I did what you suggested. And the first thing was I simply, very simply, asked God to forgive my sins, things that I'd done wrong. And I was very, very aware of those things at the time. But there was more to it than that.
Yes, I think I agree with you, Nick. Sometimes we are the last person to find out when we are, when we have offended others. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not deliberate. But Jesus said, he said, in talking about offense, we will offend one another. So I think he's having an understanding that we can cause offense. And then we can, by that, take unto Jesus' advice and go to ask for forgiveness from our Father.
That's right, John. And I think that there are two incredible things. One is that because Jesus died for us and took all our sins on himself, we can receive forgiveness. It's not enough just to forgive others. We need to receive forgiveness. And I think when we see our own faults, it makes it much easier to forgive others as well. And I think also for me there was this, the sense of powerlessness. And on that day, when I was 17 years old, somebody told me that I could actually ask Jesus into my life. And it wasn't something I did because it was a theory. I thought, okay, that sounds like an all right idea. But this incredible change came over my life. And I found that that loving others became the normal thing rather than the exception.
But can you kind of take me through how you gave your life to Christ? What the steps were, what you did?
What I did.
And what Jesus did.
Yes, indeed. Well, what Jesus did was he carried my sins on the cross and he offered me forgiveness. And what I did was I accepted that free gift and I said, Lord, forgive, please forgive me. And then, I very simply prayed a prayer asking Jesus to come into my life. And I was very, very surprised. I didn't expect anything to happen very much. But this love came into my life, and I was on cloud nine for a few weeks after that. My life was completely changed, but not completely, maybe.
Well, I agree with you. I'll give you my final story. This was something that happened when I was about 9, 10 years old. I had offended my elder brother, and I knew in myself that what I had done was wrong. And my mom called me and said, John, you need to say sorry to your brother. I didn't want to say sorry because I believe I was justified doing what I had done, even though I knew in my heart that it was wrong. But several years down the line, I know how painful it is because my elder brother, in turn, did something that offended me. And I demanded an apology. And he said to me in simple terms, several years ago, mommy asked you to say sorry. You said no. So it's my turn to say no. And that was really hurtful. And that is what it is. When we offend people, we offend our friends and brothers, and we don't want to say sorry. And at the same time, Jesus is saying, I'm giving you an opportunity of eternal grace to say sorry and to be able to accept when others offend you. May I close with on this note? Is it possible to forgive and be forgiven? And if it is, what is the process, Nick?
Okay. I think I may leave the process, John. But I'll just touch on it because we don't want to take too much time. But Jesus' solution to bitterness that we all suffer from, one of the things that he said was that we should love our enemies. He said, pray for your enemies, do good to those that curse you. And that's very, very difficult, but it's very practical. I've certainly found that the first thing is I have to decide I will forgive somebody, even if I don't want to. And I've had to do that many times. And then I think I decide that I'm going to do good to that person, but not in such an obvious way that they think, oh, I must have done something really bad to that person. They're being very nice to me. And then just I would actually pray for them. And I think praying for people just puts something in your heart for the other person. So those are three things that I've found very helpful, John.
Now I agree with you, Nick. It is possible to forgive and be forgiven, but with the help from above. And what will be your thought?
Okay, one final thought. I was thinking this morning about Have you seen those BBC documentaries about hyenas chasing wildebeest and how they track them down? And this thought came to me this morning, that how they do it is that they hunt in packs, and then they isolate the weakest member. So they get a mother with her child, say it's a buffalo, a mother buffalo with the child that can't run so well, or an injured one, and they separate them from the rest of the group, and then they attack, and they kill them. And the Bible says that the devil seeks whom he can kill and destroy. And he's not no gentleman. And in a sense, his tactics are the same, to separate us from the flock. And the thought was really that the church was Jesus' idea. And my wife and I have said many, many times that the church is a safe place. And when we get isolated, often through hurt and disappointed from the church, and we decide we're not going to go to church, we're going to do our own thing, then we're in a very vulnerable position and we're ready to be picked off. But then there's the coming back to church, or coming back to relationships in which we maybe have been hurt and disappointed, and that is very difficult. But it's worth it. So I would recommend, as my final thought, that we take seriously reconciliation, and where we found relationships where we've been offended and disappointed and hurt, find someone. And even here today, we're going to have a lovely lunch in a moment. Find someone to talk to. If you're in that situation where you've been offended and it's really, really hard, and maybe somebody could talk with you and pray with you, but don't leave it alone, because you're isolating yourself and it's not a good place to be. Is that all right, John?
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, John, Nick. Fantastic. We're going to finish with our final song, our final hymn.
We have got Eliza and Joel and Kelechi and Jonathan, and they're all in the Flame group here at church, and they're just going to pray just to start the meeting today. Should we start with you, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Today, Lord, we just pray that you can come into our hearts in a way that you've never done before, Lord. We pray that you can see you in a new way, Lord. We pray, amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you brought this day here and that you actually make us feel like we're coming closer to you in every kind of way, amen.
Father, Lord, I thank you for giving us this Sunday, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this special day, nothing will go wrong, Lord. I pray, Lord, that when we go home, we'll go with something massive in our hearts, Lord. Something that will be of you, Lord. Amen.
Jesus, thank you for bringing us here safely today. And thank you for this church, that it's not one race, it's multicultural, and that's why we're having this International Day of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Glad to see the New Zealand contingent strengthened. Kay, welcome back. We just thought we'd like to make you feel at home, with the flag over there. You may have seen on the news a couple of months ago that President Obama started to sing. It wasn't that unusual. He was in church. He was at a memorial. He was taking part in a memorial service after the tragic shootings in Charleston. But he spontaneously, as part of his talk, he started to sing. And the hymn that he started to sing is the one that we're going to start singing together today. It's that very well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. It was written about 1750 by a captain, a sea captain called John Newton. And he was attempting to steer his ship off the coast of Ireland during a violent storm. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Christian, but the storm was so violent and everyone on board had given up hope. And he, too, thought that he was going to be lost, that his ship would sink. And he cried out to God. In that storm, he cried out to God. He said, Lord, have mercy upon us. Now, God heard his prayer. The ship made it through the storm. And while he was in Ireland waiting for the ship to be repaired, he started writing this famous hymn. And so we're going to sing together the words of this amazing hymn, Amazing Grace. One of the verses says this: through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. He was reflecting on the fact that he had been rescued from the storm. But also on that night, in that storm, something happened in his heart and he became a Christian. He was rescued physically, but also he was rescued on the inside. Amazing. Let's stand together. Let's stand together as we sing this amazing hymn, Amazing Grace. Fantastic. We're looking forward to a lovely time. Please stay at the end. We've got some great food to share. So please stay around at the end and have some fellowship.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to hand over to Emma.
Amen.
I've asked some friends from New Life to read a well-known passage of the Bible in different languages, to celebrate that the Bible is available in 531 languages. We're going to hear only a small portion of those languages this morning. This is Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing.
Hear him mini nara wiri, ki I oha toko hepara, e kore ahau e hapa.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
Weidet mich auf grünen Auen und führet mich zu stillen Wassern.
He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake.
Подкрепляет душу мою, направляет меня на стези правды ради имени своего.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Nanguninga pita munkonko wamfwa uafi tafititi, tekutintine pantu ubanaine, inkonto yove nomtambu ove, filanteka umutima.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Zastawiasz przede mną stół wobec moich wrogów, namaszczasz mi głowę olejkiem. Mój kielich przelewa się.
Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Naani idimma nebere gagbasom ubochi niile nke ndum nge ebikwa n'ulo Jehova ruo ogologo ubochi niile. Amen.
Hello everyone. Welcome again to New Life. Anyone who's singing today, will they make their way to the stage, please? The first song we're going to be doing today is called God is So Good, to celebrate this International Day. And you had a taste of some of the languages that we'll be singing today, singing in. So everything from Polish to Bemba in Zambia, and from French to Yoruba in Nigeria. So God is so good.
Good morning. I'm here this morning to introduce to you Regina, a good friend from Brazil, Marita Verdon, who is from Ireland. So they're a true international couple. Regina's just going to share with us something of what God's done in her life. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Bom dia, pessoal. Tudo bem? Tudo bem? Sorry, that's Portuguese. I say good morning, everyone. Are you okay? Is everything okay? Well, when I say tudo bem, you say tudo bem. Tudo bem?
Tudo bem.
Brilliant. Now you can say, you can speak Portuguese. Well, it's great, isn't it, to be here and to see so many people from so many different nations coming together to celebrate our wonderful God. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And I've been asked to give a brief testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness in my life. Unfortunately, a lot of what I experienced in my teens and 20s is not suitable for young ears. So if you want to hear the full version, then you have to come to the ladies' breakfast on the 10th of October. Sorry, lads, it's just for ladies, okay? We'll have a wonderful time together, hopefully. But I will start with a phone I received in May 1996. I was told that my first husband, who had just become a believer, had drowned in a boating accident. I was devastated. I was only 20 years old and had two young boys, aged 10 and 6, to look after. I was so alone and heartbroken, living over 1,000 miles away from my family, who could have helped me. Yet, one night, 2 months after my husband's death, I was praying and the thought entered my mind to become a full-time missionary. I thought God was joking. How could a widow with two boys and with only £40 a month widow's pension become a full-time missionary? I told God I had nothing to offer him and finished my conversation. A short time later, I was reading the Bible when I came across Matthew 19:29. It says, "And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." I knew that this verse was for me. God was telling me that if I left all the security that I had in life for his sake, he would provide 100 times as much. I decided to trust God and applied to join Agape, a Brazilian missionary organization. I thought that no missions organization on earth would ever consider accepting a widow with two boys and the only £40 income. I thought, if they accepted us, then I did hear from God. And guess what? They accepted us. However, just 8 weeks later, I was forced to leave my house as I couldn't pay the rent. I was praying fervently for a place to live when I heard somebody at my door. It was an elderly couple from my church. They told me that God had told them that my boys and I were to come and live with them in their house until I could join Agape 3 months later. They were a wonderful couple and were like parents to me and grandparents to my boys. During my missionary training, I saw a film about Saddam Hussein's Gaza attacks on Halabja in the Kurdish region of northern Iraq. Over 5,000 Kurds died. The streets were littered with mothers and babies. The Kurds had suffered so much. It seemed that no, everybody hated them. But I knew that I had to tell the Kurds that Jesus loved them. After 4 years training, my missions leader suggested that I should go to England to learn English, as it would prove very useful to me. Actually, a well-respected American missionary suggested that it would be better for my ministry if I sent my boys to a boarding school in Brazil. I answered, when God called me to be a missionary, he knew I had two boys or two sons. He called us as a family, not just me. The boys will go where I go. By then, I had been a widow for 7 years. I was really praying for a husband who would be a father to my teenage boys. I pray that God would give me a husband, preferably a teacher, who would go with me to tell the Kurds that Jesus loved them. I moved from Brazil to the Y1 base in Harpenden and met my wonderful husband, who is over there, who is an English teacher. And the first words he taught me were, I do, and I did. I didn't know what I was doing, by the way. Actually, we got married in just 73 days. God provides. Amen? We went to Turkey and had an amazing time telling the Kurds about the love of Jesus. Unfortunately, we had to return to the UK because of our eldest son's visa problems. Again, we had nowhere to stay and were registered with shelter in St. Albans as a homeless family. But we did not give up, and God provided. One day, we traveled to Green Lanes in Haringey, the Kurdish area of North London. We loved it. It was just like being back in Turkey. But the train tickets cost £24. And after we returned to Harpenden, Virgin, my husband, said that it was a brilliant day, but we could never afford to do it again. Just then, a lady came across the street, put her hand in her bag, pulled out a white envelope and said, God told me to give you this. It was £100. When we got home, there was another envelope with £50. God provides. Amen? So since 2006, we have been teaching English to the Kurds at the Kurdish Community Center in Haringey. God has kept his promises. He has provided for me. Moreover, he has given me mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and even a husband. He has even given me this wonderful church where we feel so loved. Thank you all for helping us, especially when Verdun was in hospital twice in these past 2 years. God is faithful. And ladies, I would dearly love to see you at the ladies' breakfast so that I can share much more deeply what our wonderful Savior has done in my life so we can have a wonderful time together. Thank you and God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Regina. Amazing. What a wonderful story. Joe, we got something with the children now, I believe.
We have. People keep asking me, what exactly are you dressed as? We do have a problem, the English, okay, with this dressing thing, okay, for our national day, because we don't have robes, okay? And we don't have, like, English-type robes. So I've put on my shiny shoes, look, okay? And I've worn my work outfit, because I thought then it would just be bit more presentable. Okay, so that's my explanation. We are going to do a dance. The good news is I'm not going to do the dance. The children are going to do the dance. So would Flame like to come up? We need lots and lots of you, as many as of you as possible. But there's going to be opportunity for audience participation. So guys, come on up. And we're going to show you how to do the chorus, okay? Because I'm sure you'd love to join in with us from your seats. So it's a fantastic song, this, called Let It Be Known. I think Eliza and Aseli and Joseph worked out the actions, didn't you? They did. They actually kind of wrote this themselves. We'll get in some kind of order in a second. I don't think we can put up the words because we haven't just got ordinary words, but it says, let it be known that our God saves. So we're going to have a go at just teaching you that bit. So do you want us to have a go? Ready? Let it be known that our God saves. Oh, good audience.
Hi, my name is David. And I recently came back from Thailand. I was working with a Christian organization called Youth with a Mission. We were in the very north of the country, with the border with Laos and Burma. I worked with a local church leader called Ed, who was working to help children who were trafficked in the sex trade in Thailand and Burma and Laos. Ed and his wife rescue children by teaching them a trade which they can earn money, and so they can leave the sex houses that they live in. He rescues them into a safe house and feeds them and pays for their schooling, teaches them a trade, and helps them start a new life. He has rescued so many children so far. We thought we could do something about this to help his work on this International Day. So we're taking an offering during the next song for anyone who would like to contribute towards this work.
Thank you very much. Yes, so please, there's no obligation. It's just an opportunity. We're going to, whatever offering that we take this morning, we're going to transfer 100% straight to that particular work of rescuing children that are caught in that terrible situation. So a privilege this morning to be able to do something here in London. It's international service that makes a difference. Over there on the information point, there's some photos of the work and of the children that have been rescued. So maybe over the lunch, you could go over there and have a look. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing. This is the way it's going to work. If you want to, if you'd like to give some money to this mission, then there's some envelopes over the information point. And the special ones, it says there, the work is for... if you make a cheque, it's payable to New Life Church. We're then going to take all that money and transfer it, bank transfer it straight to this ministry called All Asia All In, which is over there. And so the envelopes are over on the information point. I'm going to put a basket down the front. And so as we sing, if you'd like to, if you want to, just make your way sometime during the song and put your offering in the basket. David, what are we going to sing?
My Lighthouse.
If the children want to come over here, there's some flags for the children to grab over here. And I'd like to offer an invitation to come and taste and see what you think about this course, because over 2 million people in this country have done the Alpha course. If you've never done it, then you've missed out. It is such a fantastic opportunity to think about and talk about some of the issues that we've been heard about today. And so over lunch, if you're interested, I've got some invitations. It's on a Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock at a venue near here, starting very soon. You would love it. You would absolutely love it. So we're going to say grace before we have our meal, and then we're going to enjoy some food and some fellowship together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing and incredible goodness to us. Thank you for this food that you have provided for us. Thank you for each other. Thank you for the incredible variety of our backgrounds and experience and language and culture. Thank you, you've made us all. And Lord, today we want to honor you and say thank you so much. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Fantastic. The main course is a buffet starting over there in that corner. And then the desserts are a buffet starting over there. So why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, would you like some lunch? Shall we go and have some lunch?